Welcome, everybody, to the Green Lantern Corecast. We are here to talk about the first episode of Lanterns, the new series on HBO, also available on HBO Max, formerly called Max, formerly called HBO Max. My name is Naim Siddiqui. You might know me as Kuhan. Join me as always, Brandon West. How's it going, Brandon?
Pretty good, player. Player, you good? I'm happy.
Did you call happy? Me player?
Player.
Okay.
It's late.
It's fine.
It's late.
I was just checking. So the first episode aired. Literally, we just finished watching it like 15 minutes ago and got right on mic to talk about it. So I will probably, after we record this podcast, listen to the official Lanterns podcast and hear them talk about it. But this is our raw, unfiltered thoughts on the first episode of Lanterns. First of all, Brandon, was it everything you hoped for?
Everything? Wow. No, absolutely not. It is... everything they told us it was a very detective, slow moving story. Sure. For sure. Yeah.
Well, I mean, also, you know, let's start a little bit with our predictions from the last episode.
Sure.
I think that's a good place to start. Some of my negative predictions were assuaged, right? I was worried that we would see no constructs. It's not like we saw any big fancy constructs, although there was the one at the end of the episode with the bubble. Which is not like fancy, but like at least it's like a big, like this is a nice like action scene kind of. But like, you know, we saw the bottle opener and we saw the $20 bill, which was pretty funny.
The dollar bill is great.
What did you think of the constructs? Because I thought they looked great. I was really, I loved the visual design, like the way that he makes the bottle opener and then like the way it kind of dissipates. I thought that was really cool.
Agreed. I thought the bottle opener scene was lovely. The kiss was a nice touch, or the blow was a nice touch. Yeah. It looked great. I'm going to swerve for a second. I had more of an issue special effects wise with him flying off the little.
Really? I like that.
Sonic boom or whatever that was.
I wish he was kind of like in a green haze or whatever. Like I wish he had an aura. But I saw that and I was like, oh, this is great. Like as soon as I saw that, cause it's in like the first 10 minutes of the episode, I was like, oh, I think we're in good hands VFX wise, but you didn't like it.
I don't think we needed it. I feel like if Hal just floats, that's fine. You know, if he decides to sonic boom out the air, I don't think we need that. It feels very Superman-ish, like save that for that ilk.
Sure.
But I don't know. It took me out of the moment, but
really
it felt very CW.
I thought the VFX were really good. I liked, it didn't feel like Superman flying. It felt like it felt more, again, having him have a green aura would have been nice, but taking that away, I thought it felt like Green Lantern flying. We see Green Lanterns fly like that in the comics all the time. I thought it was great. I was like, like I said, as soon as I saw that, I was like, oh, okay. Like, you know, I want to see some constructs soon. And then we did, but like, I thought it was cool. What did you think of the,
don't say it.
What did you call it? The hologram.
Oh, the hologram. Confusing. I was very confused. I was like, the hell, how does he not remember? Like, did he die? What
the fuck? Well, I think the hint there is that his hair is brown, right? As opposed to graying, but like, you've only seen him for like a minute, so I think you haven't put it together. Do you think, I guess let's do a quick recap of the episode. Probably should have started with that. We start in 1996. Hal Jordan is revealing himself on a 60 Minutes. I know it is 60 Minutes. On 60 Minutes to the world. He's saying, you know, apparently he first appeared 10 years prior, so in 1986, and now in 1996, he's revealing himself as Hal Jordan. We are seeing John Stewart watch that on TV with his brothers, and then his dad shoots an apple off his head.
Whoa.
Like,
my man what? Has the worst father in a while. Like...
I don't know what the hell that is, and I'm sure we're gonna unpack that throughout the season. But like,
my man
clearly
said,
John has
a
relationship with
like
his father, because in the present he calls him, right? Like when he's annoyed with Hal, he calls his dad. So we cut to, not the present, we cut to 2016, which is, I think, kind of, it's I kind of, we'll see if we go back to the past again, but like for now, I'm going to call 2016 the present and 2026 the future, even though it's past present, because it's the present of the show. Just to be simple, next episode, if we don't see 1996 or 2006 or whatever again, then I'll start calling 2016 the past. We'll see how they do it. In the present in 2016, John is at a gym. Hal picks him up. He says, "I'm late. I'm an asshole. What do you want from me?" Basically. And I really liked that scene. I thought that was a really fun dynamic between them. I loved the "every time you call me sir," it kind of sounds like saying "fuck you." He's like, "I don't know about that, sir."
How come it is every time you say "sir," it sounds more and more like "fuck you"?
I have no idea, sir.
Which is really good. And then Hal rolls out of the car and lets John crash.
Yeah, I was watching with my wife, and she was like, you know, hesitant. You know, she's not a comic book reader, so she had no expectations. And the moment it showed the car going off the cliff, she was like, "Oh no." It's like, yeah. This guy, not bright.
Yeah. That was before the last episode, I rewatched the Green Lantern movie just to have like a little bit of a basis of what we're kind of comparing to a little bit. And a friend of mine who's really into Green Lantern as well was at his house where at movie night, and he was saying the thing he loves about Hal Jordan is that he has this ring that can do anything, that has all the power in the universe, and also he's kind of an idiot. Like, he's just like this sort of uncreative student. Like, all he does is create boxing gloves and race cars. Like, he's not really bright, you know. It's not like Kyle Rayner, who like is an artist and does all these really, you know, just like mechas and whatever.
Yeah,
but it's like, he's like, whatever, man. Like, I'm gonna make a $20 bill out of a ring so I can play "I got a brand new pair of roller skates, I got a brand new key" over and over again.
I love, and we're gonna skip ahead just so I can get this off my chest and I won't forget it. I love him approaching that gang at the bar. It's like, what do you have against roller skates?
Hey, fellas, tell me something. What the fuck is your problem with roller skates?
Yeah.
It's great.
Let's get back to it. So the car crashes. John is fine because he has the ring. We learned that he's been in training for 2 months, but Hal has done basically no training. And John's pretty annoyed about it. He calls him a substitute teacher, which kind of makes sense for what I think, you know, kind of crystallizes, I think, what we're doing with the show here, which is just like in the comics, right? At points in time, Hal needed a substitute. Not exactly just like the comics, of course, you know, but like Guy and John were Hal's substitutes for a little while when he took reprieves. So like training somebody. So, okay, that kind of makes sense. I see where we're coming from. But obviously it's very different from anything we've seen in the comics, which is interesting. But that's when we see, the only reason I even mentioned this part is because that's when we see the hologram, right? A backup of Hal's consciousness on the ring from 10 years ago is like, what the fuck's going on? Who are you? Did you steal my ring? All right. Well, anyway, there's hail in Nebraska, and tell me that, and I'll let you know. Like, I'll know what's up. And then, you know, they go to a taco place. Everybody's taking pictures with Hal Jordan because they know he's the famous Green Lantern. And then John tells him this hail Nebraska, and Hal's like, cool, peace. And goes off to Nebraska. John follows him. But again, John does not have a ring. So John takes a plane to go follow him to Nebraska. He is sitting, at a high school football field. And there's been a murder there. The sheriffs don't really care that, like, they don't like that the Green Lanterns are there. They're kind of pissed off about it. And they're like, well, this is not your jurisdiction. He's like, nah, they're aliens. Don't worry. and then they go to the bar. They Hal gets in a bar fight on purpose so that he can get arrested and talk to the suspect, because the sheriff won't let him talk to the suspect. And a very fun little subversion where the sheriff's like, yeah, I stuck him in the broom closet. because
while Hal is getting himself thrown in jail, John is getting lucky.
Yeah. Yes. John in a very HBO way at the bar. Yeah. So Hal gets arrested and John's like, I'm here to bail him out. And Cher's like, he's got to get arraigned first. So the next day he gets arraigned. A lawyer shows up and says, I'll represent you. Turns out to be the sheriff's husband. They set bail at $200,000. The lawyer's father pays for the thing and says, you got to come to supper. So they go to this beautiful compound and Garrett Dillahunt's like, yeah, I want you to stop aliens. And then it turns out that the woman who John slept with at the bar is that guy's wife. So everyone knows everybody and everybody's related to everybody.
And he knows you slept with his wife.
And he knows. Yeah. Is it an open relationship? Or are they just like, you know, okay, I guess this is just, you know, this is just happening.
They did make a point to make it seem that Macon is he's a know-it-all, or he makes it his business to know things. Sure. So he knows John's history as a military man and
Marine sniper.
Right. So it's not out of the ordinary. I guess he's the kind of guy that keeps tabs on his wife when she goes to the bar in the middle of the night. So
I guess I don't know. It kind of feels like maybe. Like she even told him is kind of the vibe that I got a little bit. Maybe, I don't know, we'll find out. But that she was like, yeah, I had sex with that guy. And he's like, all right. I feel like it's just like, they just don't really care. You know, it's like one of those kinds of like.
He does not seem like the person that cares. Yeah.
Yeah.
What was the expression he used? It's always better when you eat off another man's grill. Yeah.
Right.
Good line.
Yeah.
Good line.
Yeah.
It's definitely a Mundy lie.
Oh, so the Macon wants Hal to take care of the alien problem. Hal's like, the person stopping me is your daughter-in-law. He's like, I'll deal with that. The next morning, he goes to interrogate the suspect and essentially gets him to admit that he is an alien. And then the alien suspect blows himself up. Hal protects everybody. But there's a really good interrogation scene. I like the interrogation scene quite a bit.
Yeah.
But then, yeah, the alien suspect blows himself up. Hal protects everybody by putting a bubble around him. And then that's it. And then cut to 10 years later, aka present day 2026. John is driving through the snow, arrives back in the Nebraska town. Do you remember the name of the town? I already forgot.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fine. We'll make a note of it next time. So he drives back to the town in Nebraska, comes back to the football field and says hi to the sheriff. You know, clearly they're now friends 10 years later. Makes sense. And you know, there's been something else. She seems to have called John in. He goes up in the stands and you see Hal with a bullet through his head. And or a hole in his head and no ring on his finger.
Right.
And that's the episode. Let me start from the end, because we talked about this in the last episode of what do we think if Hal dies. Do you think it's really Hal dead?
Okay, so he checked the hand and saw no ring. So that either tells you this is why he's dead, or this isn't Hal.
Right.
But I think he's dead.
My thing is this, right? Is that it seems like they're following Green Lantern lore, right? They've said all the things. They mentioned Abin Sur. They mentioned that the bubble came and took him out, right? In the bar scene, he tells the whole story of how he became Green Lantern in the first place. So it feels like in general they're following the lore.
As you mentioned, I don't have to mention it, but great telling of how he got the ring. Great. Like his last two words were either good luck or aw fuck.
Aw fuck. Yeah.
Oh, that's so good.
We'll talk about the performances in a minute.
Sure.
But if the ring is off his finger, right? If he's dead and the ring is off his finger, then you would think that it would have gone to somebody else.
You would think not only had it gone to somebody else, that John would have known prior to the sheriff contacting him.
Which maybe he does, right? Maybe, because we don't know the sheriff contacted him. Maybe he contacted the sheriff, right? Or we don't know exactly, you know, what's like. We just know he shows up. He says hi. Does anybody else know? Only the groundskeeper, right? It's a mystery, right? Like they're doing two mysteries at once. You know, we're going to have the mystery in 2016. We're going to have the mystery of who killed Hal, or Hal's apparent death. So we don't know exactly. They're going to give us clues, I'm sure, throughout, but we don't know who contacted who and what's going on in 2026 yet.
I will just say, because I read articles more than I watch trailers, that the creators, Lindelof and King are all discussing that this is a season long plot.
Like, sure.
This is the central mystery.
The Hal mystery?
The Hal mystery.
Sure. I think that makes sense. That, you know, once it got there, I didn't watch the trailer at the end, but I saw like a moment of it. And obviously they are going to be spending time in the 2016 era as well. Every shot that I saw was in the 2016 era. I don't know how much more there's going to be, but I could buy that the central mystery is the Hal mystery. That makes sense. But like, I think we're going to be, you know, it's going to be the Hal mystery.
Twist on twist. Yeah.
It's going to be the Hal mystery through the lens of the 2016 mystery, right? Which, correct. I mean, that is what True Detective did a little bit as well, right? It is in two eras.
It was definitely, I think it might have been a literal 10-year gap just like this. But it was definitely the same kind of framing.
Yeah.
Non-linear, as they say.
Right.
Yeah.
I'd be interested to see. I wouldn't be surprised if they do sort of a, you know, here's stuff in the past as like before the epic, like here's something in 96 or 86 or 2006.
If we go back to 86, I'll be very happy. I thought them showing Hal's father dying in the old footage was such a nice touch.
Sure.
I was like, oh yeah, that'll like, not only can Hal, he was there and saw it happen.
Right.
He can go back and watch it and traumatize himself over and over again.
Well, you know, there's the line in the episode, which is, I sent you the page of this directly from Rebirth, where he says, when you see your worst fear happen, like you had nothing else to be afraid of. That is directly from Rebirth. Which makes sense. Like, you know, it was a well-written comic. But I just reread Rebirth this week, you know, partially also in prep. I was more excited even than I realized I was, I think, when I was counting down the minutes till the episode started. I was like, I am ready to watch this show.
I was running around the house like, yeah, Is it time? We got six minutes left. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Where's my hoodie? Yeah, cool.
Yeah. So I got a bunch of Green Lantern comics on my tablet through Hoopla, by the way, if you have a library card. Every episode, apparently, I'm going to be excited about your local library. But if you have a library card, you can get Hoopla, and you can get comic books through Hoopla. So check out Hoopla. Check out your local library and check out your local comic book shop to get comic books. Green Lantern Rebirth is a great place to start with Green Lantern. There is some lore, but they do a lot of good lore explanation if you don't know anything with Green Lantern aside from...
Yeah, a lot of expedition dump, but it's fast.
Get over it fast. For sure. Anyway, let's talk about the performances.
Okay.
Let's talk about Kyle Chandler first. I think he might have been everything you wanted him to be.
I love this man. Do I love Kyle Chandler? I loved Kyle Chandler before this.
Sure.
And this was like Coach Taylor on steroids. Like, he's a charming motherfucker. Oh my God.
He's so good. He's so good. And
so charming. I think the last line,
I was the one last episode kind of being like, is it going to be the right fit for Hal? And I think it was. I think I was like, oh no, I do really feel like this. It's not necessarily one for one the comic book Hal, but that's fine. It doesn't have to be.
You would have to catch him in 96, right?
Sure. Sure.
To get that.
This
out.
This is technically not a Hal that we've ever seen before, you know, aside from maybe some alternate universe things, because, you know, I was in Rebirth, in fact, there's a moment where Kyle Rayner's explaining the parallax stuff, and he's like, you know, Hal Jordan probably was wondering why he went gray so early, which canonically, at the time when he went gray, he was supposed to be like 45 or like 40 or 45 years old. And then they kind of retconned it to make him younger because that's the point of Rebirth. So like, I don't think we've ever seen a Hal Jordan that's more than 40, 45 years old, whereas this is a Hal Jordan that's clearly supposed to be like 50, 60 years old now.
And my favorite part about the performance is that the writing put him in a position we've never seen Hal before. Like, we've never seen him have to deal with his replacement. Like, it's one thing to say, oh, guy, it's my, like, oh yeah, he's a partner, right? Mm. But now you have to train your partner now. Like, you have to, like, this is the guy replacing you. Get it together. Make him your better. And this, nobody likes training their replacement. Like,
yeah, I mean, it's even the thing that the hologram brings up, where he's like, Green Lanterns don't train in their own sector, you know, like, you know, like, I was trained by Sinestro from, what is it, 1417 or whatever? No, 647. No, 647 is Kellogg.
Look at that nerd.
I literally just read Rebirth like yesterday, dude.
Kyle Chandler was everything. He was so charming, so witty. I think only one line didn't really land for me, and it was the "told you it was an alien." Like, I we got it, buddy. But
I don't know. I kind of felt that was pretty so Hal good. To me.
Sure. You know. It was just that one line I didn't.
But I thought that line of like "told you it was an alien" was like a little bit like, yeah, that's some Hal Jordan bullshit.
The line is fine. I think the delivery a little off.
Sure.
Yeah, but yeah, maybe. No. I have nil complaints. He was fantastic. I just don't like the stubble. I don't like the stubble. I want my Hal to be clean shaven and hilarious, but it's fine.
You know,
it's
again, it's great. It's the version of, because speaking of, again, the hologram is like, he doesn't have the stubble, right? Like, like, that's another thing again, it's tough because you've only seen him for like 45 seconds. And then when you see him, you're like, hold on, wait, is that what's going on? But like, he doesn't have the stubble. He's got brown hair. He's wearing a different jacket, which I thought was interesting too. Cause it feels like the jacket he's wearing in the hologram is his dad's jacket, or like, you know, what we see in the comics is that aviator jacket.
Something meaningful.
Whereas in the present, in 2016, he is wearing a different jacket. He's wearing just like a kind of like a regular beat up jacket. And like, I wonder if we're going to see some sort of significance of that in the show, of like, he stopped wearing the jacket for some reason, or if it's just, you know, maybe it's just something that I'm bumping up on as a comic book fan.
No, I think you picked up on something.
Yeah. I mean, again, I think they were careful to show us that he's wearing the jacket in the past and he's not wearing the jacket in the present. And like, he's, you know, and maybe something happened in 2006, right? Like, he specifies that Green Lantern's supposed to back themselves up once a week and he hasn't backed himself up in 10 years. What happened in 2006?
10 years.
You know, and like, is it just that like Hal is that, you know, like lazy or whatever? Like, I don't think, you know, like, I could see a version of that where like he's that careless, but I think there's something that's meaningful to the fact that he has not backed himself up since 2006.
There was a moment during the interrogation where the alien calls him out on his battery not being charged potentially.
Yeah.
And between that and the not backing his data, for lack of a better term, backing that up for consciousness, backing up for
not backing that
10
ass
years,
up. Yeah.
He was like, yeah, of course. Why? Of course Hal would go into a fight with a ring on 25%. Of course Hal hasn't backed up his savings plan. Like,
yeah, he has to find his way to the power source. Source. Yeah.
Oof.
You know, yeah, and like, there's a couple things in that interrogation scene that I found really interesting. Because obviously there's that, but like, that kind of, I'm worried about that moment, because the alien brings up that he you know, maybe has not brought his battery to charge his ring. So I feel like that's a little bit the excuse to not show a lot of constructs. But also, we watched him at the beginning of this episode get to Nebraska in like 20 minutes. So why not just fly back to Coast City and bring your lantern back? Like, you could, the second it gets mentioned, you're like, shit, I should go get that. You're right. I might be here for a while.
I mean, by then you showed your hand, you can't leave, but sure.
No, don't leave. Yeah. Not at this moment, but like, I guess.
Yeah. After explosion, for
after
sure.
After the explosion, go get it.
Coast City. Yeah.
Just hop back to Coast City, grab your lantern. Also, I guess maybe they don't have the pocket dimension thing. That's fine. I don't mind that. But we'll like, see. That's whatever. But like, yeah, hop back, get your lantern and come back. Cause you're like, unless something's really going to go down in that 20 minutes that you're gone, like it seems worth it to go back and bring your lantern so you can charge up.
You would think.
So I don't know. That's going to annoy me. The other thing was the alien reciting the oath and it really bothering Hal. And I'm curious about that, of like spitting. I mean,
he let him
back in his
finish face. The whole thing before he. Yeah. I don't know. It felt like a reason to get it in the first episode, but sure. Also save the moment for Hal or John to act, to make it meaningful.
100%.
But you also had somebody laugh at it, so it's like, how much is this? This is only going to mean something to us Lantern fans, like. I don't think any pedestrian or casual is going to be like, did that charge his ring or something? Like, I don't know. We'll have to see.
I think, but. I mean, like, you know, I think there's ways to make it cool in the moment.
Why would that bother him?
That's what I'm wondering about, is why would it bother him so much? Again, is there something that happened in 06? Like, the fact, you know, he said he only brings the suit out on special occasions, like, and he makes a tie metaphor, and that's fine, but, like, it feels like something happened in 06, and we're going to explore that also in flashbacks throughout the season.
I'm worried they killed Carol.
I don't doubt it.
This all seems
certainly
he doesn't
care
about
things.
First
thing I thought when the sheriff was talking about how lonely he is, I was like, "Oh, there's no Carol. Brandon's gonna be pissed."
I was like, "Well, Kelly's the sheriff. I guess I'm hoping Paula Patton's is Carol Ferris."
We knew Kelly was the sheriff. But like, I mean, like I said in the last episode, maybe Paula Patton's Carol Ferris, and you know, we'll see.
But now I think she's in a flashback and now she might get refrigerated. Like, I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you're not wrong about, and by the way, of all of the things to refrigerate, you really shouldn't be Green Lantern refrigerating women. We're literally the trope namer, you guys.
You are the trope.
You can't be doing that. Like, this is where the trope comes from. It's from Kyle Rayner finding his girlfriend in a refrigerator. You can't be doing that in the Lantern show.
I don't want to interrupt our show, but I'm pretty sure womeninrefrigerators.com is still a thing. I think Gail Simone still has that blog up.
LBY3.com/WIR is still up. I don't think it's still updated or anything. But
cool. Well, listen, the history is there. We remember.
The history is there.
Never forget. Alex? Was it Alex?
Alex, yes. Oh, sorry. Yeah. Yes. Kyle's girlfriend, Alex.
Kyle's girlfriend, Alex, was shoved in the refrigerator.
Also shows up in Blackest Night. Anyway, sorry. We don't need to get it in a comic book.
We know the tropes.
Let's talk about Aaron
Pierre. Let's talk about Aaron. I love.
Let's talk about Aaron Pierre. We can always come back. We can always, you know, if we think of something else.
I'm just trying to get over Carol at this point.
Sure, sure. Let's talk about Aaron Pierre. I thought he was good. You know, you mentioned in the last episode, there's not a lot to do with John Stewart, and I don't necessarily disagree. I think there are things that you can do, but certainly like. In the Justice League show, they kind of had to give him more, right? Like, they were like, let's give him a character because the comic book version. I mean, the problem with the comic book version also is that, like, they made, like, three or four different decisions over eras, and they were like, at some point, we got to reconcile all these together.
90s were a wild time, man.
Yeah, yeah. What did you think of Aaron Pierre in general? This is kind of the first thing that either of us has seen him in you know, extended periods.
He's fine. It's fine. he's very militant, very soft spoken, but I think it's a character problem. I don't think it's an Aaron problem. I thought he had
a good amount of charm as well. Like, certainly a lot of this episode was him following around Hal, apologizing for
playing off of Hal too. So,
but playing off of Hal, I thought he did a good job at. You know, I thought they made a good duo, and it's a very sort of classic buddy cop duo of you have. It's kind of a little bit reversed where like. No, actually, that's not true. The younger one's usually the buy the book one, and the older one's usually like, well, I've been around forever. Yeah. I can do whatever.
It's training day. Yeah.
Yeah, it's training. Yeah, yeah. So it's like, it's very much like, it's that sort of classic buddy cop. And I think they do a good job at it.
This is more writing than it is Aaron Pierre, but I was so tired of him saying, I'm his trainee mm-hmm. to everybody you talk to. I'm not a Green Lantern. I'm just a trainee. Like, are you in your feelings or not? Like,
well, I think,
relax.
I mean, he is. Yeah, I think it's true. I think he's pissed about
it. It's more to writing than Aaron, but like, homie, everybody got to know you and your feelings about it. Relax.
A little bit.
I mean, maybe that's a testament to Jean and how they want to play him. But
it got him a night in the car with Purna Jagannathan.
Which, does that feel like a Jean thing?
That was interesting. Yeah, that I don't know that it did.
2 minutes prior, you were on the job.
Yeah. Yeah.
And now you getting it in a car.
What do you think about John being vegan?
Shocking. Shocking. Like, oof. No, it's fine.
No, as a character choice, right? As a writing choice of like a I find it interesting. I think it makes sense as like a military guy, you know, like this is the thing. But like, is there something behind it, or is it just like a choice? I don't know. I'm just wondering if there's
I think they just want to make a bunch of I don't eat pork jokes. It sure. Also plays because you're in rural Nebraska, you know.
Yeah.
So it's just I don't know. Just a choice. Just a choice. Doesn't seem like it's gonna. I mean, just like being a vegan in the real world, it's not going to bother anybody.
Well, I don't know that that's true in the real world.
Listen,
bothers a lot of people.
if someone, and we're not going down there.
Well, I mean, yeah, I'm just curious. Like any character, you know, with this episode one, but like any character choice, any choice in the writing of like they chose to actively make him vegan. Like, is that something that's going to matter? Is there going to be something around it, or is it, you know, like it's tough to. I'm just, you know, again, I just noted it.
Let's take 3 seconds and get in the weeds in the heads of these writers. Do you think the decision to make him vegan came before or after they decided to make Macon a grill master? Because I think it was absolutely, let's play up him being a guy that's serving a bunch of pork and then having John be vegan.
I think that's all it was. I think it was like, what if he
was vegan?
Yeah.
And he already knew that. Like, boom.
But like, it didn't really cause any tension in that scene, so.
I mean, but it lets you know the kind of guy he is. I think it spoke more for Macon than it did for John.
In what way?
How would Macon know I was vegan? The only other person to know would be Hal.
But Hal told Macon's son.
Beforehand.
Yeah, in the courthouse, Hal was like, oh, he's like, hey, come out. My dad's going to barbecue. He's like, oh, well, John's a vegan, but yeah, cool. And so then he tells him.
Right.
Like, he gets some tofu.
I don't know.
I don't think it's less.
Maybe you're right. Maybe I'm just forgetting. It's just
like, if I invite someone over and it's like, oh, by the way, my friend's vegan, then I'd be like, cool, let me call my mom who's going to be cooking food or whatever and say, hey, by the way, my friend's vegan, can you make sure to make some vegan food? That's it.
I think they wrote that scene backwards and was like,
I don't doubt that they wrote that scene backwards. I just think that there might be something else coming down because again, that in
from
that
veganism.
Well, I just mean not that. Yeah, we don't even talk about the veganism this. I didn't mean to talk about it this much. I just mean that like there was no tension in that. So then, what's the point of writing that scene backwards? Like, oh, by the way, I got you some tofu. Like, that's it, resolved. I think there might be another scene that they wrote backwards from, and they were like, let's toss this into episode 1-2 so you know from the beginning John's vegan, and something comes up in a later episode, potentially.
Okay.
That's all. I don't know.
1 to 10, how was Aaron Beer?
1 to 10, how was Aaron Beer?
10 being Kyle Chandler.
I don't think you're wrong. I think Kyle Chandler might be a 10 for sure.
Is Kyle Chandler the Denzel Washington of Green Lantern? Listen, yes, he's fucking great.
He is great. And it's one of those things of like, again, he's not 100% the Hal from the comic book, but like,
don't care. I don't care either.
I'm not saying I care, right? Like, I want to make sure, like, any adaptation, it's not going to be 100%. Things are going to be different, and I'm cool with that. Like, as I've gotten older, the more I've realized, like, if I want the comic book version, I have the goddamn comic book.
Like, listen, and that's a hard thing to accept. Because we're going to date ourselves here. The X-Men cast was just announced, and I'm like, if I wanted to be happy, I just go read Grant Morrison the comics again. Like, if I wanted to be thrilled with every decision I make, I just go read Jonathan Hickman's first two arcs. Like, sure, it's fine. Yeah.
I'm excited for the X-Men cast. We'll see. I also didn't read nearly as much X-Men as you. I don't care as much about the X-Men comic books as you do. I read Bendis's run and stuff beyond Bendis's run. So Aaron Pierre, 1 to 10. It's tough, obviously, because I don't think he really gets a lot to do in this episode, right? He hasn't gotten, like, I feel like Hal got a real character showcase. And John, I think we're getting more spread out of like
what
the,
yeah.
Like, I think it is kind of like, it is John's show. This is a show about John Stewart, and Hal Jordan is like the co-lead, and like, you're seeing him do stuff, and like, obviously, like, he's going to get the cool stuff to do, but like, the show is more about John as a character and John's character growth, and that's the character you're following.
Yeah.
And so I think it's tough in episode 1 to really give a number to John. But I think I also might just be dodging the question. I can't lie. I might just be dodging the question a little bit. But I don't know. Like, it's tough to get a read on. I thought he was good. I thought Aaron Pierre did a good job with the material that he had. I just don't know that he had like a ton of material yet.
I hate that. He's, you know, you played a hand you're dealt. That's ugh.
No, but I get it. I get it too. Right? Like, you're right.
You gotta outperform the script sometime.
Yeah, and there's plenty of actors who I think, you know, elevate material, and maybe Aaron Pierre is, or maybe he isn't one of those actors. I just don't know. Again, like, it's an 8-episode series, so
they have a lot to do in 8 episodes.
Here's what I'll do.
7 episodes.
I'll peg him right now at like a 7 out of 10, but with the understanding that by episode 8, my number might be different.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. That's what I'll say. I'll say right now 7 out of 10, but like, it's just, I think he did a good job. I feel the Marine in him. I feel that stuff. I liked that they had the moment of him sketching. I don't know if that means they're giving him a little bit of Kyle stuff, or if that's just like the architect in him.
I didn't like that.
Yeah.
You can do anything in that moment. Why is he sketching?
I think it's, you know, again, John from the comics is an architect. So I think it's like, we want to show that he's got a little bit of a different, like, he's got that kind of a vibe of, you know, having some art background in him. I assume they're like never really planning on doing Kyle Rayner. Maybe they are, but like, you're kind of assuming that John Stewart, like, you know, how old is Aaron Pierre? 30? Like, you're assuming he's going to be the guy for the next.
Yeah.
10 years or whatever, if you're doing that, like, you're not sitting here right now and planning for Kyle Rayner when Aaron, you know, when you have your John Stewart for the next decade. So maybe they're giving him a little bit of Kyle stuff of like, oh, he's also an artist.
I think you probably nailed it with the architect.
With the architect.
You gotta draw a little bit to be an architect, sure.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I think it's mostly that of like, let's show this aspect of his personality. Or of his character. Do you want to talk about the people making up Nebraska? You want to give your flowers to Kelly McDonald, or we want to?
I mean, she's a joy to watch, but she wasn't given a lot to work with this. But she was fine. She was fine. I thought the scene where she looked so uncomfortable when Hal and John got to the ranch and he mentioned that she might be a person in debt. That was a really good moment. And it was like, yeah, because I say this in the nicest way possible. Kelly McDonald is way out of that guy's league. What is he doing with her? What are you doing? Also, shave that mustache.
Yeah, the Jason Ritter mustache. I wonder if he had to have that for like a for Matlock or something, and just like wasn't allowed to shave it because he had
is
another
he in
show
the new
he
Matlock? On. Nice, good for him.
Yeah, he's a main role on Matlock. Yeah.
Is he another lawyer in Matlock?
I think he is, yes.
Cool.
Yeah, I haven't watched Matlock. I follow him on TikTok, and like when he's in the dressing room of Matlock, he's always like doing dances, but he's like wearing a full suit. So I assume he's a lawyer on Matlock. So when I saw him show up, I was like, is he just like in his era where he's just playing lawyers now? Is this his lawyer era?
You get that bag any way you can. Did you just say you followed a Matlock Twitter?
No, I follow Jason Ritter on Twitter.
Oh, okay.
I don't follow on TikTok. I don't
follow
Matt.
Follow yeah, TikTok. Sorry.
Excuse yeah, me. I follow Jason Ritter on TikTok. I think he's a funny, interesting actor. Like I follow a handful of actors on TikTok, and Jason Ritter is one of them.
Now we
he's
know.
A good time. He's a good follow.
Tell me more about yourself.
You've known me for 15 years, Brandon.
Jason Ritter is a follow is. Not on my NIME scoreboard. not on the bingo card. Anyway. We want to do predictions or favorite moments?
Favorite moments. I mean, that interrogation, I think, was great, of course. We talked quite a bit about it already.
I love the Harry Potter part of that. Because yeah. I was like, I know who won the Heisman Trophy for Nebraska. And I was like, oh. He definitely got him with the Harry Potter friend. And of course, the Barack Obama one
was really
he's
funny.
Like, that's it?
You're from rural Nebraska, and all you have to say about Barack Hussein Obama Hussein is he's the 44th president?
Barack Obama.
Barack Obama is the president of the United States.
That's it? As a rural Nebraskan, that's the breadth of your opinion of Barack Hussein Obama.
He is the 44th president. He followed George W. Bush. There's some controversy surrounding his birth certificate.
Holy shit, you are an alien.
And somebody's like, and also there's some controversy surrounding his birth certificate. And the cut to just like, you don't even see necessarily their faces, but like you see John and the sheriff in the interrogation room. And like, you kind of see her tense up and you're like, yeah, that really, there's some controversy around his birth certificate. Like that's all you got to say in 2016 about Barack Obama.
Right. I thought for sure the next thing out of his mouth was brown pants and I was going to lose it.
Oh, the tan suit, you mean?
Yeah, the tan suit. Oh, yeah. My God. Oh, my gosh. What a great interrogation that was.
It was great. Like Hal going and being like, I only need 5 minutes. It's like, it is a really good, like, you can, you know, I don't remember the exact line, but like.
Well, that's the rub, isn't it?
What?
Pretending to be someone that you're not. You learn all the specifics, but you don't learn what everyone else knows.
Right, you're not learning that Harry Potter went to Hogwarts. You're not learning that. You know, that people in Nebraska care a lot about Barack Obama. Like, you don't know that. Well, I don't remember what the third thing he said was, but like.
I think it's cool that he started so Nebraska. Like, we knew where he was going with it. Like, you, of course, drill in the facts. And then he spread it out. Why? What did he say? He's like, he followed George W. Bush.
Yeah,
like,
he's the 44th president following George W. Bush. There's some controversy surrounding his birth certificate. Yeah.
Tremendous scene.
I also, by the way, for a moment, I forgot that it was in 2016. I was like, why is he saying Barack Obama is the president? It's like, oh, right. Because it's 10 years ago. Also, by the way, canonizing that Barack Obama is president in 2016 in this universe and George W. Bush was president.
And not just the Marvel universe. Ha.
Actually, no, Barack Obama wasn't president in 2016 in the MCU because it was...
Not the MCU. I'm thinking of the Barack
in the comics,
Obama.
Yeah, in the comics, yeah.
Giant
yeah.
head comic, yeah.
But in the Spider-Man. MCU, it was the guy in Iron Man 3, and then Miguel Ferraro tried to kill him.
Yeah, interrogation might be my favorite moment of the show.
Yeah, it was great.
It was. I also think, and this was a quick moment, John getting the ring as it was flying through the air in the car.
Yes.
Yeah. Dope.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, so I did end up watching that. I texted you when the first 5 minutes dropped, like, should I watch it? And I did end up watching it. And like the first 5 minutes ends with Hal pulling up in the car and saying, I'm late. And that's fine. It was good. It was a good, it's just a flashback and Hal pulling up. But like, I think it would have been better if it went all the way up to the car, all the way up to the car crashing. And like, I don't know, maybe like whatever.
Or
people
at least
enjoyed it. And
or at least
the point
him ducking out of the car. You know?
Yeah, at least him rolling out of the car, yeah. I think would have been better as opposed to just like him pulling up. But I think maybe there's a little too much information given out in those first that first 2 minutes with him in the car.
The car
like,
ride.
We want to hold this in the car ride. But they again, it does end with clearly Hal is coming and picking up John. Like clearly they already know each other when the show starts, and that's mm-hmm. where it ends in that first 5 minute clip.
Hey, as somebody that rewatched the movie recently.
Yeah.
Am I misremembering when I think Ryan Reynolds drove a nice car mm-hmm. in the first 2 minutes of that movie?
He drove a nice car, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't remember what car it was up top of my head, but he drove a pretty nice car. And it's like he's like weaving through Camaros, traffic and stuff like that. Yeah.
Nice. Hal's got taste. just crossed my mind when I was watching it. Yeah. I love that moment. I thought that was dope. I don't like the look of the ring. I think it's very lazy. But I also think it's one of those mass-produced, easily-to-be-mass-produced kind of things. Sure. But I don't know.
I'm
something about a green ring should just do what the comic book did and just make a little green ring.
I
was so hard about that.
You know, there was, I think, in the opening title, it felt like there was a little bit of yellow tinge. Oh. First of all, do you want to talk about the opening title? Because you tweeted
We don't
about
have
it.
A theme song.
Yeah.
We don't have a theme. And we have... Do you watch with subtitles on? Is this... Yeah, let's out each other. Do you watch with subtitles on?
Yeah.
Yeah. So the whole time it's like ring marbles. And I was like, what the fuck is this? Like, anyway, we don't have a sub. We don't have a theme song. And it bothers me so much. Like, because now I just had this argument with somebody. Great shows have theme songs. Like, the legends have theme songs. You can't be a prestige show without a theme song. You can't be The Wire. You can't be
Breaking
The Sopranos.
Breaking Bad doesn't have a theme song.
Who?
Breaking Bad?
It has a tune.
It has a tune. That's true. But it's not a tune. Theme song.
Yeah, but when it plays, you instantly think Arizona. Breaking Bad
is like it's like a five, like there is music that is iconic of Breaking Bad, but like that like 5 seconds of Breaking Bad intro, I would not call a theme song.
I think,
and it's also possible we'll get more in the next step. Like maybe this was like we're just gonna do this
no
real
chance.
Quick and episode. I doubt it too. I also doubt
no
it.
Chance.
I don't think it's gonna happen.
I'll get.
I think
over
there's probably
it,
other prestige
mistake.
TV shows without theme songs that I'm not thinking of, but. It feels like this is the, like, I don't know. To me, it feels like most of them don't have theme songs, but like, I think off the top of my head of Game of Thrones, obviously Game of Thrones does have a theme song.
So good that they gave it to the spinoffs.
Did they really?
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of the other like HBO shows.
You can't. I just tried and you almost stumped me with Breaking Bad, but.
We can disagree on whether or not Breaking
Bad
has
a theme song. Does The Office have a theme song?
100%.
I think it does. Yeah.
Yeah. But The Office is also bad. So that's not.
I don't like The Office either.
Yeah. Yeah. The show sucks. that's a TikTok clip out. That's the one that's going to get us to go viral of people getting pissed at us for hating The Office.
That's fine. Fuck The Office. I love everybody involved. I love Ricky Gervais. I used to love Ricky Gervais.
Good. I never really cared about Ricky Gervais, but definitely a used to is a necessary qualifier there.
Yeah, sorry. I'm not sorry. He should be sorry. Anyway, yeah. I think it's just a missed opportunity. And it might be a budget thing. I would rather you spend the time and money on special effects and giant action scenes than, you know, hiring my man Ludwig to do yet another fucking theme, you know? So it's fine.
He's so good. He's the best. I love Ludwig Göransson.
Yeah, Ludwig. He's
who
the best.
Who did the music? I thought the score was pretty good when I noticed it.
I thought the fact that they were using legit songs during the bar scene was great. It spoke wonders for the budget. But
Stephanie Economo did the score for the show. She also did, let's see, wow, a lot of stuff that's nothing. Ruby Gilman, Teenage Kraken, Gabby's Dollhouse, the movie, a couple video games. I don't know. I was happy with the score. So maybe she's about to really break out as a composer. She's done a lot of work with Harry Gregson Williams, and who is a great composer. So maybe she kind of studied under him.
Well, it's TV. I don't expect them to break the bank for TV, but still.
No, yeah, it's whatever. But like, you know, a good composer is a good composer. You know, like Ramin Djawadi is a real composer, and then he composed Game of Thrones, you know? So like, again, not to say TV composers aren't real composers. They are.
That's an orchestra. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You want to handle predictions? How far off the map were we?
Yeah, I should have noted down all the predictions. so far, for our season-long predictions so far, you know, your thing was that Aaron Pierre would surprise us. We have not yet confirmed that. So far, he's been fine. I think I predicted no constructs, and that's not what happened. We did get some constructs. And again, like I said, I was happy with the constructs that we got.
Were you?
I mean,
you were fine with the visual of the construct. Were you happy with the output and usage of constructs?
I think I was. Yeah, I think I was. Like, I wasn't expecting to get like something crazy in the first episode. I was just like, I wanted him to be using the constructs the way he did. I'm just like, everyday regular, like, oh, I gotta do this basic thing. Cool, I'll make a bottle opener, or cool, I'll make a $20 bill. Like, I was happy with that being the uses of constructs in the first episode. That made sense to me. We talked about whether Guy would be in the first episode. Obviously, he was not. I think kind of naturally it makes a little bit of sense too, because we did not know this show would be set in 2016 when we were talking about it last week. Now, knowing that most of the show was set in 2016, I wonder when and how and what we see of Guy. And like, also, you know, if in 2026, if John is showing up as the Green Lantern, like, you know, to deal with this, like, is John the substitute Green Lantern? Is John the Green Lantern? Obviously, he checked Hal's hand to see there was no ring. So like, is John a Green Lantern at all in 2026? We didn't see the ring on him at all.
Do you think Hal was so stubborn and he let John be sidekick for 10 years with no ring?
Well, no, I think they're saying he's training him as his replacement, but not like he's going to get replaced tomorrow, right? You're going to be my replacement when I need a replacement, right?
When, like, I die is what he said.
Right.
And I don't plan on dying anytime soon, Junior.
This is my job. As long as I'm alive, that ain't changing. And I don't plan on dying anytime soon, so why don't you do yourself a big favor and take a nice long deep breath, Junior?
Before Rebirth, right? Like, there's a period of time in the comics where Kyle is the only Green Lantern in the universe and also makes a ring for John so that John can be on the Justice League, you know? Like, so like, there's stuff like that where, like, sometimes there's, you know, whatever, but like, what I'm actually asking is, until Hal, you know, until a day before this, the you know, 2026 moment, where there are three Green Lanterns traipsing around on Earth, because we know that in 2026, Guy is around somewhere.
Yeah. I would say, based on this twist at the end, I care less about that cameo now than I did before. I don't want Guy to show up and ruin the tone of this show.
Well, you know, I think the show is pretty funny.
surprisingly funny.
I laughed quite a bit. I laughed out loud quite a bit.
I chuckled a lot, but I think that's probably me holding back because my wife is not a fan and I don't want her to be embarrassed of me. Because sure. I was definitely smiling the whole time.
Yeah. Yeah, I was surprised at how funny it was.
Are you happy with the tone?
I am, because I think, again, like, I think I'm happy with the tone because it fits who Kyle Chandler is better. Like, I think, you know, maybe this was the tone before, I don't know, but maybe, like, it's like, I feel like it was a really good fit for this Kyle Chandler version of Hal Jordan being funny, but then also like John playing as a comedic foil, you know, and like, and the, you know, the share, like, every, like, Hal is kind of a comedy character, to be honest. You know, we were talking last episode about how, like, sure, Guy is very much a comedy character. And I'm sure Hal, like, you know, we know Hal's not only a comedy character and he can't only be a comedy character in this show. But, like, there's certainly a lot of Hal is funny and other people have to play off Hal being funny.
I was trying to think when this show was trying to get off the ground previously, before James and Peter took over. They had a Greenland show in development. I think this was Berlanti.
Of course it was.
And they had Guy as the guy. But it was also supposed to be a little more grounded. But recently Berlanti came out and was like, oh, we couldn't get the budget to do the space stuff. And I was just like, that's cool. But
yeah, I'm on the Wikipedia page where there was a version that was picked up by HBO Max in 2019.
Right.
Where Mark Guggenheim was also involved.
Guggenheim, that's who it was, yeah.
Well, it was Berlanti and Guggenheim. It was both of them.
Same coin. Dawson's Creek, baby. Sure.
But like, it was supposed to explore Guy, Jessica, Simon, Alan, and Kilowog, and other new Green Lanterns. And then they shifted it to Alan Scott as a closeted gay FBI agent in 1941, which could have been interesting. And then Guy Gardner as like an 80s hyper patriot. And then, you know, everything got changed.
And then James Gunn saved us.
James Gunn saved us. I mean, I could be interested in that show of like 1940s. He's like, you know, we're seeing 1940s Alan Scott and we're seeing 1980s Guy Gardner. Like, I'm fine with having Guy Gardner, Nathan Fillion, like the thing that we see in this universe. That's cool. But like, it does really feel like Guy Gardner belongs in the 80s more than any other decade.
Yeah. I mean, but he knows that.
Sure.
Nathan knows that. And you know, I brought that up just because there's a world in which Guy Gardner would have fit better as a lead character or a more jokey show, and because they went heavy on the jokes here, I'm less worried about him fucking it up now. But it's also because I don't need him now.
Sure.
Because like, Kyle Chandler is pretty fucking funny. And
you know, it's interesting too, because like I think Garrett Dillahunt is a very good dramatic actor, but when I think of him first, I think of Raising Hope. Did you ever watch Raising Hope on Fox?
Definitely not. No.
Sure. That's fine. We watch different kinds of television, Brandon.
Listen, you being able to drop Garen Dillahunt by name is bravo. That is not a named actor.
That he's one of the stars of this show.
No, I'm saying he's not a name. Old Men. He's not a name. He's the guy from Raising Hope.
Sure.
If
sure.
You watched it, you know.
He's been the guy from a lot of things, and then like it was just kind of odd that in Raising Hope he like was this like very broad comedy character. So like that's what I think of him as.
Okay.
But like, yeah, that's not necessarily what he's doing here. But like everybody in this cast, aside from Aaron Pierre and Kelly MacDonald, like are people who to me, I think of them as comedy people, right? Like Jason Ritter, I think of as a comedy person. Nathan Fillion, I think of as a comedy person. Purna Jagannathan, she's done a lot of other stuff, but like the thing I most recently watched her in was Deli Boys, which is a comedy show.
Definitely like, a comedy. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, like, and like Garrett Dillahunt again has done lots of stuff, but I think of him as a comedy guy. Kyle Chandler, like Friday Night Lights is not a comedy. I know that, but I think of him as a comedy guy. So, I don't know. And then like, again, it's not that any of them were necessarily unfunny here either, right? Like they weren't doing broad comedy. I don't think Garrett Dillahunt was doing broad comedy. I don't think Purna Jagannathan was doing broad comedy. I don't think Jason Ritter was doing broad comedy, but they were doing comedy in this show. Like it's not serious drama. You know, like not that it's not good, or like it's not like Breaking Bad. Well, although Breaking Bad's also pretty funny at points,
it's
but like
funny.
I don't know. I'm trying to think of a show where just like you sit there and like you like you just not you don't laugh once. You know, it's not a Christopher Nolan movie. You know, there's some laughs in
pretty
Nolan
accurate.
Movies too,
that's,
but like that's
unless you're laughing at Travis Scott's ridiculous videos.
There's things I've laughed at in all the most recent Nolan movies, but like certainly I understand that like that's
you weren't supposed to.
No. I think you're supposed to too, but like it's not like a laugh a minute, you know? It's not like
right.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of another show that fits this tone. Like it's supposed to be serious because it's a mystery drama.
Sure.
But it's also literally joke after joke.
Well, I think Fargo. The first season of Fargo.
Fargo is a straight comedy, man. That happens to have a mystery. It's
okay.
A comedy.
Though. Okay. I'll give you that.
But if this trio of writers are anywhere near the level of my man Noah from Fargo, we're in great hands. Like,
By the way,
I can only dream. I love Fargo.
You know Noah Hawley's twin brother made The Rookie?
Is it still on? Isn't that still on?
The Rookie? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what's subsidizing Nathan Fillion doing whatever the hell he wants. do you want to do episode 2 predictions?
Sure. Episode 2. Let's say...
Let's just do like one prediction for episode 2.
I think we'll definitely see more uncomfortable tension between Kelly and her father-in-law.
Sure.
I think...
Garrett Dillahunt.
Garrett Dillahunt is a fascinating character. Because I thought it was Gary. And then I was like, is it Dillingham? Like Kenny Dillingham? Anyway.
He's in 12 Years a Slave.
Because I'm paying attention to the white man in 12 Years a Slave.
He's in Looper.
Is he Brad Pitt? No. I didn't watch him in 12 Years.
Oh, he's in that movie.
Is
right.
Brad Pitt in 12 Years a Slave?
He produced it. So I'll think of him as producer first.
I predict in episode 2, we'll get some more Macon. And I'm fascinated with that story, that aspect of the story.
I think, so I'm going to predict that in episode 2, we get some sort of Hal flashback. Something of Hal.
How far back?
It feels like we're dealing in decades, right? So it's 86, 96, or 06. We started the first episode in 96. Maybe we go to 96 for Hal. I don't think we're going to see 06 right away. I feel like that something that happened in 2006 is really important. And I'm so curious to see what that thing that happened in 2006 is. But I don't think we're going to see that right away. I'm also worried I'm going to disappoint myself by predicting something major to happen in 2006 and then we're not going to see it.
I think we're okay to assume that Carol's dead. And unfortunately, I think it's so bad that it doesn't even register like, oh, you know, Hal became paralyzed because he fucked up, right? And I think this Hal has that moment where he obviously fucked up, but I don't think we're going to get, it's not on a grand scale because we saw with the taco stand that he's still clearly beloved. Right.
Sure.
And even so much so that people miss him in the suit. So I don't think he fucked up to a grand scale, but I do think something definitely happened 10 years ago. And unfortunately, this is just assumptions because casting and all that, it's probably Carol Ferris. And sure. I don't think we'll get it in episode 2, though.
No, I don't think we're going to get that in episode two. I think we're going to get some sort of Hal flashback, but I don't think it's going to be that. But it's also like, it's also possible that, you know, like a lot of times in these 8-episode seasons, what they do is like episode 5 or 6 is like an entire flashback episode. And like maybe like all of episode 5 or episode 6, something takes place in 2006.
I can't roll my eyes harder.
So, I mean, it depends, right? Sometimes it's bad, sometimes it's good. I think like the flashback episodes of Mythic Quest are some of my favorite episodes of Mythic Quest. Did you watch Mythic Quest?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like I really love both of those flashback episodes a lot, but like the first one is really good, but like has nothing to do with the regular character. And the second one is like CW in the past. That's his name, right? Anyway, the F. Murray Abraham character, mm-hmm. and he's played by Josh Brenner.
That's
in the
one
past.
Of the best episodes, yeah.
And like it's such a great episode, right? And like, yeah. So we have seen, or like in Wonder Man episode like 5 or 6 is the Doorman episode. Or is it episode 3 or 4? I think it's a 6-episode season, isn't it?
Such a sad show. Oh my God.
We're never going to know what happened to Josh Gad.
Josh fucking Gad.
R.I.P. Josh Gad forever. He's just gone. But so like I would be interested to see potentially an entire episode set in maybe even like 86, 96, 06, just Hal. And like this is Hal backstory stuff, but I don't know. That's not that good. Obviously not gonna be episode 2.
We haven't touched on it because it was brief, but we did get to see the suit.
Sure. Yes, you're right.
Blech.
Disappointing. Blech. Disappointing. Blech. And I'm curious. You know, we didn't see it in full. We saw it like You know. On a TV in 1996,
yeah.
And that's also like the 96 version of the suit. Maybe it was different in 86 and it was different in 06. I don't know.
Don't care. That was a terrible decision.
It was bad. It was bad.
That was going online and say Green Lantern cosplay suit. Yeah. And whatever giant Spirit Halloween factory sent them a suit.
Yeah, no, like, I didn't like it either.
So bad.
I'm trying my best to defend it. Not defend the suit itself, but like
defend the concept.
Yeah.
I think you could be right. I think you're probably right. Just in like, yeah, he could change his suit every decade or so. Sure,
right.
Of course, he's Green Lantern. He can change his suit every second, right?
Yeah.
But
I mean, Kyle changed it like 4 times.
Holy shit, that was bad.
It was bad. It was bad. It was bad, for sure. For sure. And maybe it'll feel and look better when we see it in action. I don't know. But in that Barbara Walters interview or whatever, it was bad. There's no defending it. At least, because the one thing that people complained about when they saw like the still of it was that like there was no green on it. It certainly was green. And I'll give it that. I think it was a bad shade of green. I think it was too dark. It's like,
it was definitely
look
dark,
at my shirt,
right?
Look at your hoodie. That's the green we should be doing, you know? The green of the Corecast hoodie, which might still be available online. I'm not really sure. Yeah, if it is still available, and I think, what, did we do Spreadshirt? I don't even remember. If I can find it, I'll put it in our link tree. So feel free to buy our Corecast shirt. Really soft, nice shirt. I love the shirt. It's a really good shirt and a good hoodie.
Lasts,
like, it's good quality.
Baby. It lasts.
It lasts. Yeah, we bought these like 10 years ago. This is a regular Green Lantern shirt, but like the Corecast shirt I was wearing on last episode and the hoodie Brandon's wearing, we've had these for like 10 years and like they're good. The printing is really nice. As long as they still use the same printing they used 10 years ago, I don't know. But yeah. Shout out to I assume it's Spreadshirt. It probably says on the tag of your shirt. What did I say my prediction was? Oh, we're gonna get a Hal flashback. We might get a John flashback, and I'm gonna count that as an incorrect prediction if we get another John flashback, but we might get a Hal flashback. That's the thing I was mentioning that we talked briefly about was you talked about John's dad being a bad dad, and I don't disagree
Horrible
with that
dad.
But again, like when after the car crash, the first thing he does is he calls his father.
Was that his father or one of his brothers?
The subtitle said John Sr.
Okay. I didn't peep that. Okay.
So it was his, I think the intention is that it's his father. And I find that interesting that like, you know, that.
Listen, they had a nice relationship when he was a child. They went and got burgers after that moment. That was a nice embraceful hug.
Right.
Still a shitty thing to do to your child. And it wasn't the first time.
By the way, him telling the kid that too, of like telling the kid, you know, the Macon's grandson, of like, you know, here's how you throw a football. Oh, I did it. Yeah. How'd you know that? Oh, my dad just shoot apples off my head.
And me is so disappointed. My man was like, grandma. And
what an insane thing to say to a 10-year-old child or an 8-year-old child or whatever, 7-year-old child. I'm like, yeah, my dad just shoot apples off my head. So that's like, yeah, he would just take a gun and fire an apple off my head.
So I thought, oh, John's this awkward guy because, you know, his dad gave him this trauma. He went into the military because he's awkward, but he can still pull women at the bar. But he's still awkward enough to tell the little children that he got shot at by his dad.
I don't know. He's an interesting character, I guess.
He's a weird guy.
He's a confusing character. All right. Well, I think that's a full episode. Unless you got anything else you want to talk about.
Let's just say I enjoyed it. I very much enjoyed it.
I loved it. I thought. Like, do you want to give the episode a rating out of 10?
Sure. So solid 7.
Seven? Really?
Nothing blew me away, but it was enjoyable. I don't think the mystery is. I would have liked to see like alien blood or something. Like, sure. Anything. No,
I mean, I will say, actually, that was one of my predictions, that we wouldn't get enough of the mystery in episode 1. And I think that is true. We didn't get enough of the mystery in episode 1, but I was satiated. I was really maybe when I watch it for a second time sometime this week, I might feel differently about the episode. I'm like, I don't know, like maybe I was just really hyped for it, but I would give it like a 9, 9.5. Like, I loved it.
I think my 7 is probably because I don't want to buy into my own hype.
Sure.
Because when I think about the episode, I think about that moment where John goes down the stairs and tells the sheriff what she already knows. And like, that's great. Or when he clocks everything, yeah. He's like, I think it was a tight game. And this a game. What if that was a great moment? And it's just great moment after great moment after great moment. And that should lead up to a, you know, fantastic episode. No problems. But it's just like,
we didn't even talk about the stuff on the football field. We didn't talk about him chasing the guy and like, and you know, cutting in front to punch him in the face.
That
like,
was dumb.
Whatever.
You don't know that building. How do you know that? Anyway, architect.
But like,
right?
I think the thing is, he knows he's not going to catch him. So like, it's better to do a Hail Mary and hope that you're going to cut in front of him. Otherwise, you know, you're going to lose him anyway.
And I think in the back of your mind, you know, Hal's not going to let this guy get away.
Sure.
Right. So
yeah,
why not take a chance?
Anyway, but yeah, like, we didn't talk about that. But like, yeah, I mean, I thought the bar scene was great. I thought, like, you know,
there's no wasted time in this. And yeah. I think like the worst thing, not worst, but you know, the least important thing was maybe Taco Stand. But at least then,
but, I mean, that was really short,
very short. And maybe the flashback with John, you know, watching
at the beginning.
At the 60 minutes thing, right? Which is mostly lore dump, but it also, you know, led to
there's lore stuff. It's kind of like dropping you into the universe of like, here's the Green Lantern, here's what we're learning, and then also the him and his dad stuff. Yeah, I don't know.
No wasted moment. It's a very good first episode, and you can tell, you know, this is like one of those old school pilots where it got written after rewrite until they got it right. It was very good. Very good. I'll give it an 8.
All right. I'll let you sit at 8. I think you feel more than 8, but I'll let you pretend that it's 8 for you.
All right,
7 seems crazy low. 8, I'll be like, all right, that's at least a little tighter. But I think it's a 9 in your heart. I think it's a 10 in my heart, and I'm giving it a 9. I think it's really good.
Right.
I think like all the things that I thought were going to disappoint me did not disappoint me. And that's good. We're never going to see Kilowog, but that's fine.
We did get a Guardians mention.
We got to mention the Guardians. You know, we did see aliens. They're not aliens, but like, he's an alien, you know. real quick before we finish, there's an EW article that just got posted right after the episode aired. The title is Kyle Chandler and Lantern's Crew Explain that Shocking Premiere Cliffhanger. Quote, they're never going to let us do that. The article is essentially them saying we didn't believe they'd let us kill Hal Jordan. Again, sometimes this is a lie. I'm still not sure that Hal Jordan is actually dead, but like, certainly they make you believe Hal Jordan is actually dead. So that's really interesting. But also Kyle Chandler says, maybe I made it up in my mind, but Coach Taylor sitting in the stands with a bullet in his head. I thought that was kind of cool. and then there's a later quote, which this is important to what we were talking about earlier. According to Mundy, the room initially toyed with the idea of killing off Sheriff Carey. Ultimately, it felt too much like fridging, the outdated trope that sees a female character harmed or killed in order to motivate a male figure. So if they're you know, worried about fridging Carey, then are they also worried about fridging Carey Ferris?
Are we back?
Are we out here?
She's back, baby. I feel a lot better now. I feel a million times better now. Fridging Paula Patton, was said.
Paula Patton, cool. Carol Ferris is on the table.
Yeah. Alive.
Alive. Yeah. Alive. She's going to be really sad that Hal died, and then she's going to turn into the Star Sapphire or something. I don't know. Okay, that's going to be it then for this episode. Thank you so much for listening or watching. If you listen to this episode, you can watch us on YouTube, youtube.com/theglcore. You can find us on Spotify or wherever great podcasts are found. We are at www.thegreenlanterncore.com. The website's been a little bit funky, but I have been talking to our website owner to get things fixed. So hopefully everything should be fine soon, but I think it should be at least working well enough. All of our links are on linktree/glcore. That's GLCORPS. Find us on TikTok. You can find us on Twitter. You can find us other places on the internet. So thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for watching, and we will catch you on the next one. Stay green.
I have this magic green. It is the color green. It can do anything. Sometimes it speaks to me and says, Hal, what have you done with your life?